All right. Our next presenter is Dr. Jeremy Green, and he's going to be presenting mitigation of thrips on cotton in the southeastern USA using winter cover crops. Jeremy?
Thanks, Steve. Boy, there have been a lot of talks on thrips at this conference, right? All right, well, here's one more. Maybe we can keep it interesting. Before I begin, kind of show you a time-lapse video of cotton growing. You want to see that? 20 seconds, the whole season? Take a time-lapse camera, stick it on a fence post, and point it at a cotton field and set it to take one picture a day. This is what you get. Looks alive, doesn't it? Y'all want to see that again? Of course, we're going to talk about what's already happened here, right? Very beginning of the season, but it's interesting to watch that. All right, let's get on with another thrips talk. We're going to talk about cover crops and how that might mitigate thrips populations, and we've heard a little bit about that already at this conference, but they certainly can help with this, and they certainly can help prevent it to get to this point. And as I mentioned in a talk this morning, get us to this point without a delay or too much yield loss. And everybody that's had experience with cotton and thrips has seen the advantage of using a preventative treatment and what can happen if you don't have some sort of preventative treatment in place. And you can certainly get a yield loss or at least a delay with that kind of response. You've had a lot of background information on thrips. I'm not going to give you a lot of that, but thrips are in the southeast our most predictable insect pest. We know we're going to have pressure from this pest each and every year. We know we're going to have to do something about it, so it's very predictable. And so much that probably shouldn't call our treatments preventative. We should call them reactive and part of our IPM approach. They're just very predictable. We know we're going to have them. What species are important? Show this slide this morning. This represents a good bit of the south, and red is tobacco thrips, and we do have a few spots. The blue, I believe, is western flower thrips. When you take a snapshot, this is about what you get in terms of the important species, and tobacco thrips is primarily the species of interest. When we're talking about mitigating problems with thrips, you know, there's lots of different things we do. Of course, I'm just going to talk to you about some conservation tillage and cover crops and how they're going to help us in the fight against thrips. But there are a lot of different strategies for addressing thrips. Cotton Incorporated has funded our Southeast Row Crop Entomology Working Group for the last several years. Well, they've been funding us for longer than that, but for the last several years, we've been addressing thrips. And of course, we've had a lot of different objectives, and I'm going to report on the tillage and cover crop systems approach to managing thrips. All right, so conservation tillage, you know, why do we do it in the first place? And a lot of different reasons, and thrips is not the first reason. We do it to reduce soil erosion, compaction, increase the capacity of the soil to hold water and water infiltration rates. Build up organic matter, and the cost, you know, you're going over the field less, so there are lots of reasons to use conservation tillage, and it does help us with thrips, and I'll show you some data to support that. Most of the data I'm showing you today are from generated last year in Georgia and South Carolina. All right, so when we're talking about tillage and cover crop and the residue that's left, you know, here's wheat cover with a conventional tillage, and then wheat cover plus strip tillage, and so here are some images from Georgia from Dr. Mike Taves. You know, here's a 6-foot-tall rye being rolled down, being ready for planting into that cover. Here it is after it's rolled, desiccated a little bit, and then they're running the planter across that. So you see the cover is very heavy. Here it is emerging in the ryegrass. You can see the strip till approach there. So, you know, minimum tillage, got a nice cover in place. Here's side by side from his plot showing the conventional tilled area versus a strip tilled area. And you guys can see the difference in plant heights there, can't you? You know, bigger plants, more biomass on the strip tilled side with the cover. This is 35 days after planting. some insect data from this trial, from Dr. Tate's trial. We've got the adults on the left here, you got the nymphs on the right. You got a set of bars for the conventional tillage, you got a set of bars for the strip tillage. And you can see here, just looking at the adults, there were more adults found in the conventionally tilled treatment versus the strip-tilled treatment, and he did have a foliar and a non-foliar treatment nested within that experiment. You look over on the nymphs, and you pretty much have the same sort of response. You've got more immature thrips in the conventionally tilled factor compared with the strip-till factor. So there's, you know, less thrips rather in the strip-tilled areas. Some additional data from Georgia from 2008 and 2009 pretty much shows the same thing, but it's broken down by species. And this chart shows, again, comparing two different years, conventional tillage with strip tillage, and there were more thrips found in the conventional tillage versus the strip tillage. So there are lots of data sets to support this, and they essentially show the same sort of trend. Back to the 2014 data set, looking at some different parameters here that were measured. Plant height, you saw the picture previously. Looking at plant height here, the strip till plants in the strip till tillage system were larger. All dates here, 14 days after planting up to 28 days after planting. Look over to the thrips injury rating that was taken in 28 days after planting, and the thrips injury was significantly less in the strip tillage area versus the conventionally tilled part of the trial. And then you look at plant biomass, and it was pretty even. Slightly larger plants in the strip tillage area, but certainly no benefit to the conventional tillage in terms of plant biomass. And here's where it kind of flip-flops. And Mike's got a statement down here that he sent me, and I just copied the whole thing and stuck it on the slide. But you notice that the yields were lower in the strip-till area versus the conventionally tilled area. This is not regular. This is usually not seen. It's usually the reverse of this. And Mike was wondering if the environmental conditions we had last year, somebody help me out here, where the rye perhaps tied up some of the potash and there was a nutrient deficiency there, and perhaps that was the difference. We'd have to get an agronomist in on this to weigh in on that. But that's his explanation why the yield information didn't fall in line with every other thing that was measured in this particular trial. I did have a cover crop trial where we measured a lot of different parameters as well, and I just pulled one slide out of that to show you. This is thrips numbers per 10 plants, and it was rye, and where we had no cover and used conventional tillage, we had significantly more thrips than where we had a mowed cover with strip tillage or a rolled cover with strip tillage. So not a lot of thrips pressure in this particular trial, but the trends were pretty much the same as what I just reported. So one of the things that we kind of a variation of using this cover crop idea and the crop residue was attempted back in the late 80s and early 90s at Clemson University, and one of our ag engineers who's still on staff and still present, still working on this project and other projects, Dr. Ahmed Khalilian, had an idea of relay intercropping, planting into standing cover that you were going to harvest. Precision plant, what they used is wheat. They precision planted, they didn't precision plant back in 1988, right? So one of the drawbacks from trying this research back then was that you couldn't drive straight enough to do that. Now we have the technology and the means to do that. But we did this last year. We precision planted into wheat. We block up in the grain drill the travel lanes and the planting lanes for cotton, and we basically take the tractor and the planter. We did have a planter unit that had more narrow row units to accommodate this approach, and simply plant into that standing wheat residue about 2 or 3 weeks before we harvest the wheat. It kind of gives you it's called relay intercropping. It kind of gives you a head start. You don't have to wait until the crop is totally out of the field, the cover crop, in this case wheat. You can see the cotton emerging there in between the standing wheat 2 or 3 weeks before harvest. And it starts growing, starts maturing. You come in and you harvest the wheat when it's ready. A couple weeks later, your cotton crop's already established underneath this cover crop residue. And then you get a nice little residue, have wheat standing. You had a head start with your cotton planting. And you see some additional pictures there. So the wheat residue is left to cover, and the cotton is undisturbed from that harvest. All right, some insect information from my trial. And this is just a two-date total of the means. On the over here on the left, you've got the wheat. Where's the arrow? You've got the wheat, cotton, an untreated treatment, a wheat cotton treated. We did have one application of Orthene, and I'll show you a chart in a minute with these combined. But we had significantly fewer thrips in this system where we had the wheat and cotton relay intercrop versus cotton alone. Take both of those bars and put them together, and you basically see that here. We just had significantly more thrips in the cotton alone versus the wheat cotton relay intercropping system. Look at thrips injury ratings. Pretty much the same deal with the injury ratings. We had higher injury where we had cotton alone versus the relay intercropped cotton planted into the standing wheat. And just putting those all together for a main factor here, significantly less thrips injury in the wheat cotton intercropping system. Looking at yields from this particular trial, we saw no impact on wheat or the cotton yields. They were basically the same. Here are several different fields on the left. You see the interseeded versus the conventional, and then a couple of years on the interseeded versus conventional here with the cotton yields. Just no significant differences. So it was a viable system. Mentioned this morning in a talk. You know, what makes that cover crop residue a deterrent to thrips in that system? And there is some published information that it seems to indicate that it's just an optical thing. They just have trouble acquiring the cotton crop. I don't know why. It looks like a good contrast to me, but there's some difficulty with that. Perhaps there's some allelopathy with the pre-pupae that fall off of the plants into the soil. Perhaps that's what's going on with some of the wheat stubble, the wheat straw. But to summarize, you know, thrips are predictable. They're important pests. We have to deal with them every year. There are lots of risk factors involved with the managing thrips and cotton. The at-plant treatments are absolutely necessary. We've got various options there. Reduced tillage and using cover crop residue, you know, those are just great choices, and you know, something else that we can do to mitigate problems with thrips. And there are lots of other things here I'm not going to go into, but. Got time for questions.
Yeah, we have plenty of time for questions.
Same date. Yep. Exactly. You don't have to wait. Right.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
We'll have a lunch, all right? Thank you, Jeremy.